Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Hebrews chapter number 10. We desire your prayers. Want to be obedient to God tonight and share with you what I have on my heart. But ultimately, in the end, without the Spirit, it's all in vain. So you pray that God will just open to us His Word and that we'll receive it. Hebrews chapter number 10. Going to begin at verse number 19 and just read through verse number 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We pray that your Spirit, God, would guide and that it would open to us this truth, feed our hearts, strengthen us as only you can. As we've come together before you sincerely, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use one verse tonight, and it's actually not one verse, one sentence. And the sentence encompasses three verses. Important, I believe, to make certain we understand what the writer meant when they penned it for us. But I could read this scripture tonight, and it can go in one ear and out the other. The Spirit of God's what has to tack it into our heart. It has to find that spot in our heart that is absent this truth or needs reminding of this truth and to fill for us that space that only it can. The brother sung about that blessed divine book, and I'm grateful today that we have a road map. We're not without a compass in this world. But we're approaching a day, it seems. And I had a fellow ask me this week, and it got me really thinking about it. I answered him, but I wasn't certain whether or not my answer was accurate. And then I began to search the scripture. And I found this sentence, three verses beginning at verse number 23 and going down to verse number 25. What do you do when we're powerless in this world? What is my responsibility when the very greatest effect that I can have may affect anything very little at all? What is my responsibility? What is it that God's going to measure me to? There are people in position of power that I believe God will hold accountable for their decisions and their actions. But in the same sense, He'll hold me responsible for what I was responsible for. I won't be judged for another man's work or for another man's responsibilities, but I do have responsibilities of my own. And in a time when it is desperately needed, a time when people all around us need to see Jesus more clearly and fully, then I believe the responsibility for us to be what He's called us to be is, it ought to be the most important thing on our mind. A friend of mine asked me the question, so he said, "What do we do?" And as I thought about it, I gave him an answer, but I want to share with you what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews to them concerning what we should do. Now, you can fill in the blank on the end. What Paul was referring to was the day of judgment that's approaching. If you have it, the end of time. Or the time when seemingly God will start in through the process bringing judgment to pass. What should we do? So I want you to look with us today, and if you're a note taker, you'll want to jot these down. For the rest of you today, I trust you'll give diligence to memorizing them. Because truly, if there are responsibilities, we need to make certain we're getting it and that we're doing it. Number one, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Be faithful. I may not be much, but I can be faithful. And as the song says, little is much when God is in it. We may seem that our lot in life may affect or change very little, but I challenge you today to be faithful in whatever you do. Be faithful in whatever it is that God has called you to do. Whether it be the secular activity, whether you go to school or you're a homemaker, or you got a job, whatever it is, be faithful to God all the time. Let your life be an example of faithfulness inside you. What the apostle said was, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. I am confident in whom I have believed. And if we truly have confidence in God today, then surely it wouldn't be that great of a task for us to recognize that every day I believe in Jesus Christ and I hold fast to that profession. The commitment that I've made to Christ, the willingness coming by having been born again by the power of God, drawn in by His Holy Spirit, and filled by His Spirit. May I say to you today, there is a responsibility. As we see the day approaching, there is a responsibility for the children of God to be faithful. Faithful. Faithful in how we deal with others. Faithful in our service to God. Faithful in all of the things in our lives that come. And it seems that people excuse themselves in this area of life or that. We're to be faithful to God in every aspect of our life. As we see the day approaching, how should we be? What should we do? We need to be faithful. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Without wavering, for He is faithful that hath promised. But number two, let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. I believe what it means is to be considerate of another. To recognize that your fellow man may be in trouble. And what he said is, let us consider one another, specifically that we might provoke them unto good works. And to love. As I looked at that term provoked, it means to incite one. Let me see if I can change it to help us understand it. It means to create an excitement in the mind of another that causes them to want to press forward. We're living in a time when people want to lay down, right? I had a friend tell me last week, he said, it's just like Elijah. The wind is blowing and the fire is raging and the earthquake is going. And you know what people do? They do the same thing Elijah did. They run in the cave and they hide. But you know what God told Elijah in the cave? Get out. He said, what are you doing in the cave, Elijah? He said, get out of the cave and go back and preach my word. When it comes right down to it, we've no responsibility to the world that involves hiding.
As a matter of fact, that's shirking our responsibility altogether. We must be faithful to the profession of faith that we have made. But number two, we need to be careful with the souls of people around us. And whether or not you've got it all down pat, right? You might. You may have checked every box and you may have pleased God in every way. And if that's you, thank God for you. Keep being an example to others. But the rest of us, we need to be considerate one of another. And when we speak to one another, we need to be careful to know that everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs reminded that God is still in control. Everyone needs to know and remember that we have a home that is not this world. We're on our way to a better place. We're just pilgrims and strangers here. Everyone needs to be encouraged and reminded that we have a work to do. We have a light to shine. We have salt to put out. We need to be what God has called us to be. Let us consider one another and provoke one another unto love and good works. I believe it'd be a better place if our heart's desire was to reach out to that other soul and to spend that time to be considerate of their needs, to recognize that every one of us need encouragement and reminding and strengthening and sharing of the word and being faithful in all of these things. I believe as we see the day approaching, this will be necessary. It's going to be needed. As the message was this morning, we're not in this alone. We're together. Thank God I'm not alone. We're together. We have a responsibility as the people of God to be faithful to the profession of faith. That's the individual part of it. But then there's a corporate part of it. And I have a responsibility, Sam. I love you and I want you to know. And I want to remind you, and I want you to be encouraged that God is not out of control. He hadn't lost anything. He is still all-powerful and able to do all things. He is good, He is gracious, and He will not leave us nor forsake us. He will always be just what we be. May I say to you today, we need to be encouraged in a time when discouragement is the work of the enemy. And the only way to do that is to remind one another. Right? You ever have hard days? You ever have times when the enemy seems he just comes at you as if you were the only one? May I say to you today, we need to recognize as a body of believers that we have a responsibility to love on one another, to encourage one another to the good works of God and the love of God, to remember that we're in this together. As the day approaches, this will become even more important. Just by history, if we just looked at the example of the history of mankind, going back civilizations or generations, we can certainly see that there are periods of time when things get so bad morally, right? This world has been in worse shape than it's in right now. But I'm not convinced we're as far as we're going, right? We seem to be sliding very quickly the wrong direction. And ultimately the end of that slide is when it hits the bottom, right? It will collapse, fall apart. As that day approaches, right? And I'm not prophesying in here. I'm simply telling you as you look around and see the turmoil and the chaos and the division and the hate and all of these things. Our country was divided before Black Lives Matter. I assure you of that. There was a problem way before that because the problem is in the heart of man. The problem is in the country that we live in that is forsaken the standard of what a family is, what a man is and what a woman is and who marries who. These things are primary and basic in the rule and the law of our God. And when we deceive ourselves by thinking anything will go, we will reap the whirlwind that we have sown. It's simply looking at the day which is approaching. We will reap what we sow individually, as a family, as a church, as a state, as a country, as a world. That is a concept that is universal. We will reap what we sow. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, this is a scary message. I'm preaching to encourage you. I may be failing, but I'm trying to encourage you. Because the truth is, as the day approaches, we will be disturbed. And it is ever more important, Sam, that you be faithful through this. Unwavering, not faltering, none, standing fast upon the Word of God, which does not change. And that I'm considerate that Paul has needs. And that I'm careful to encourage you and incite you to do the good work of God. Not to give up, but to be faithful and to put yourself in a place where God can use you to the benefit of His kingdom and others. Listen, we have a responsibility to stick together. And this will become ever more important as we see the day approaching. Be faithful without wavering through all of these things. Remember to be considerate of those around you, loving them in a way that provokes them to good works. It excites them to be about the business of God because you're encouraging them. You're reminding them. All of these things are necessary. Number three. I believe as we see the day approaching, according to the Apostle Paul, we need to be very careful that we do not fail to assemble ourselves together. If the devil has accomplished anything through this whole coronavirus, he has broke down the normality of assembly. I know churches that still are not coming together. The doors are still closed, and that has to make the enemy happy. I don't know what it will come to, and I don't know what will happen. There may come a day that what we do is so persecuted that we have to hide to do it. It happens all over the world in other places already, right? It may come here. I thought about the future quite a bit last few days. And as I prayed, I wept for my grandchildren. But what I remembered and what I realized was they must be faithful. Through it all, they must be unwavering, faithful to God in all of this. They must recognize the importance and the fact that we're not alone and we depend on one another and we should incite one another, provoke one another unto love and good works, and that they should not fail to assemble themselves together. I see, it doesn't matter whether I be the pastor or someone else is the pastor, that has nothing to do with it. It has more to do with the faithfulness of the flock of God who are depending not upon themselves, but upon God for their deliverance and for one another to make it through. God has made it this way. The church from the very beginning has simply been an assembly of believers. They called it a fellowship. They called it a fellowship. Today we have a responsibility to remain a part of the fellowship. You see, we give little credence to this. And maybe, some of you are probably thinking, you should have preached this morning, not tonight. Well, this is the way God gave it. So we'll go with it. There is a need for us to be faithful. There is a need for us to be considerate of one another, right? I know you're busy and I'm busy and everybody has stuff to do and everybody, but we have got, as we see the day approaching, to remember we must be considerate of those around us and encourage them. It provoked them even to good works and to love. And then don't fail to assemble together. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I realize that it seems popular. it seems the manner of some is to excuse themselves from the gathering of the fellowship. How about that? He saw it then. We still see it now, right? Not a new problem. Not a new problem. Where people are not faithful, considerate, or consistent. And yet, as we see the day approaching, I can assure you what we will need is to come together. One of those things that we will need as a body is to come together, to assemble together. There's so many things, different message, but I'll just say it this way. There's so many things about the fellowship of believers that are important and needful and necessary in your life. Those things you simply cannot excuse yourself from without there being consequences long term. You excuse yourself from the house of God and you'll often miss His Word. I've heard them, you've heard them say that I can serve God just as good at home. It's just not true. If it had been, He would have set it up that way. He would have set it up that way. But He didn't. No, He made it so that I'm dependent. We're a body, we're a unit. Different members, but all functioning for purposes that ultimately bring the furtherance of His kingdom. And He requires us to come together. And so the Apostle Paul gives them a very simple truth. He said, not forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. As you see the day approaching, you need to remind yourself of how important it is to be here. To hear the Word of God. To expose yourself to one another. The truth is, right, listen to me. The truth is that none of you have seen me this week. Well, since Wednesday. But where did you see me Wednesday? See, the truth is I wouldn't see some of you ever. And yet I am linked uniquely to you. Now, it's a shame none of us have front porches anymore. But the truth is we need one another. As we see the day approaching, as we see it getting harder. We must be faithful without wavering to God in the profession of faith we've made. We must be considerate and know that we are going to struggle and we're going to have to help one another. And we can. And we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This, friend, listen to me. There are people in communist China today that treasure every single limited opportunity they have to do what we do freely. And that's part of the reason so many take it for granted in this country is because it's free. Seemingly it's like drugs, right? If it's illegal, they all want to do it. Well, it may get illegal in this country one day, and maybe that'll wake people up. We have a responsibility to stick together as we see the day approaching, right? Keep your eyes open and listen. But don't be discouraged. Our God is not out of control. There was a lot of people we talked about in Sunday. Come get a song. I'm finished. There's a lot of people throughout the history of mankind. You can read about them. People that were killed for the cause of Christ. Martyrs. And they didn't back up. I mentioned it in this morning's message about how Nero would take those families of men, women, and their little children, and they'd bunch them up in groups of 20 and 30 at a time, and just before the games would begin, they'd open that gate, and them big soldiers would push them people out into the middle of that arena. And then they'd begin to open the gates. And those lions would rush out and just maul those people to death. You say that's horrific. They were faithful. All we had to do was renounce Jesus Christ. That's all we had to do. All they had to do was say, no, no, I don't know him. And they let him go. You know what they did, brother? Their little babies right there with them. They said, I will not renounce Jesus Christ. I cannot. And they took their babies with them and died. Now, we don't have it near like that, do we? But as we see the day approaching, regardless if it's the day of judgment or if it's simply a day that is harder than the one we just went through, as we see the day approaching, I can assure you that we as believers must hold fast to the profession of faith that we have made. We must be committed to Jesus Christ no matter the cost. And if that cost it starts to grow. And as we lose freedoms in this country, the cost to serve Jesus Christ will become more expensive. As you see this day approaching, listen to me, Paul. As you see this day approaching, hold fast. If it means lines, we'll go together if that's what it takes, right? See, that's where they were at. That was reality to them. We've not suffered as they have. We've not been exposed to the persecution to the level those early Christians were, or even early martyrs in our own. But as I see the day approaching, I have something that reminds me of the responsibility that I have. I may not be able to affect much, but I am tied directly to this fellowship. And if that's all I can ever help, then I need to be faithful to it. Consider it to each one. And to do everything I can to not forsake the assembling of our... Because this, friend, as the day approaches, this, what you're a part of right now, will become more and more precious. This will become the greatest opportunity we have. We take it for granted now because we have 3 a week and we can just pick and choose and do as we... The day is approaching. You better get set in your heart, unwavering faith, that no matter what, I am His and He is mine. Cost regardless, I am His and He is mine. And that I love you and am considerate that you need encouragement. You need reminded. And that these opportunities for us to join together, not to hear a man, but to hear our God, will be the most precious events we'll be a part of. As we see the day approaching, let's prepare our hearts. Stand with us. If you're in need today, come.